Only methodical consideration, which is to be distinguished from empty discussions of technique, must likewise give information about the kind of being of the entity which has been taken as our theme. The clarification of the methodological possibilities, requirements, and limitations of the existential analytic in general can alone secure the transparency which is necessary if we are to take the basic step of unveiling the meaning of the being of care. But the interpretation of the ontological meaning of care must be performed on the basis of envisaging phenomenologically, in a full and constant manner, Dasein's existential constitution, as we have exhibited it up till now. Ontologically, Dasein is in principle different from everything that is present at hand or real. Its subsistence is not based on the substantiality of a substance, but on the self-subsistence of the existing self, whose being has been conceived as care. The phenomenon of the self, a phenomenon which is included in care, needs to be defined existentially in a way which is primordial and authentic, in contrast to our preparatory exhibition of the inauthentic they-self. Along with this, we must establish what possible ontological questions are to be directed towards the self, if indeed it is neither substance nor subject. In this way, the phenomenon of care will be adequately clarified for the first time, and we shall then interrogate it as to its ontological meaning. When this meaning has been determined, temporality will have been laid bare. In exhibiting this, we are not led into out-of-the-way and sequestered domains of Dasein. We merely get a conception of the entire phenomenal content of Dasein's basic existential constitution in the ultimate foundation of its own ontological intelligibility. Temporality gets experienced in a phenomenally primordial way in Dasein's authentic being a whole, in the phenomenon of anticipatory resoluteness. If temporality makes itself known primordially in this, then we may suppose that the temporality of anticipatory resoluteness is a distinctive mode of temporality. Temporality has different possibilities and different ways of temporalizing itself. The basic possibilities of existence, the authenticity and inauthenticity of Dasein, are grounded ontologically on possible temporalizations of temporality. If the ascendancy of the falling understanding of being as presence at hand, keeps Dasein far from the ontological character of its own being, it keeps it still farther from the primordial foundations of that being. So one must not be surprised if, at first glance, temporality does not correspond to that which is accessible to the ordinary understanding as time. Thus, neither the way time is conceived in our ordinary experience of it, nor the problematic which arises from this experience, can function without examination as a criterion for the appropriateness of an interpretation of time. Rather, we must in our investigation make ourselves familiar beforehand with the primordial phenomenon of temporality, so that in terms of this we may cast light on the necessity, the source, and the reason for the dominion of the way it is ordinarily understood. The primordial phenomenon of temporality will be held secure by demonstrating that, if we have regard for the possible totality, unity, and development of those fundamental structures of Dasein which we have hitherto exhibited, these structures are all to be conceived as at bottom temporal, and as modes of the temporalizing of temporality. Thus, when temporality has been laid bare, there arises for the existential analytic the task of repeating our analysis of Dasein in the sense of interpreting its essential structures with regard to their temporality. The basic directions of the analyses thus required are prescribed by temporality itself. Accordingly, the chapter will be divided as follows: anticipatory resoluteness as the way in which Dasein's potentiality for being a whole has existentiel authenticity, section 62, the hermeneutical situation at which we have arrived for interpreting the meaning of the being of care, and the methodological character of the existential analytic in general, section 63, care and selfhood, section 64, Temporality as the ontological meaning of care, section 65, Dasein's temporality and the tasks arising therefrom, of repeating the existential analysis in a primordial manner, section 66. Section 62. Anticipatory resoluteness as the way in which Dasein's potentiality for being a whole has existentiel authenticity. When resoluteness has been thought through to the end in a way corresponding to its ownmost tendency of being, to what extent does it lead us to authentic being towards death? How are we to conceive the connection between wanting to have a conscience and Dasein's existentially projected, authentic potentiality for being a whole? Does welding these two together yield a new phenomenon? Or are we left with the resoluteness which is attested in its existentiel possibility? And can this resoluteness undergo an existentiel modalization through being towards death? What does it mean to think through to the end, existentially, the phenomenon of resoluteness? We have characterized resoluteness as a way of reticently projecting oneself upon one's ownmost being guilty and exacting anxiety of oneself. Being guilty belongs to Dasein's being and signifies the null being the basis of a nullity. The guilty, which belongs to the being of Dasein, is something that can be neither augmented nor diminished. It comes before any quantification, if the latter has any meaning at all. Moreover, Dasein is essentially guilty, not just guilty on some occasions and on other occasions not. Wanting to have a conscience resolves upon this being guilty. To project oneself upon this being guilty, which Dasein is as long as it is, belongs to the very meaning of resoluteness. The existentiel way of taking over this guilt in resoluteness is therefore authentically accomplished only when that resoluteness, in its disclosure of Dasein, has become so transparent that being guilty is understood as something constant. But this understanding is made possible only insofar as Dasein discloses to itself its potentiality for being, and discloses it right to its end. Existentially, however, Dasein's being at an end implies being towards the end. As being towards the end, which understands, that is to say, as anticipation of death, resoluteness becomes authentically what it can be. Resoluteness does not just have a connection with anticipation, as with something other than itself. It harbors in itself authentic being towards death as the possible existentiel modality of its own authenticity. This connection must be elucidated phenomenally. By resoluteness, we mean letting oneself be called forth to one's ownmost being guilty. Being guilty belongs to the being of Dasein itself, and we have determined that this is primarily a potentiality for being. To say that Dasein is constantly guilty can only mean that in every case, Dasein maintains itself in this being and does so as either authentic or inauthentic existing. Being guilty is not just an abiding property of something constantly present at hand, but the existentiel possibility of being authentically or inauthentically guilty. In every case, the guilty is only in the current factical potentiality for being. Thus, because being guilty belongs to the being of Dasein, it must be conceived as a potentiality for being guilty. Resoluteness projects itself upon this potentiality for being, that is to say, it understands itself in it. This understanding maintains itself, therefore, in a primordial possibility of Dasein. It maintains itself authentically in it if the resoluteness is primordially that which it tends to be. But we have revealed that Dasein's primordial being towards its potentiality for being is being towards death. That is to say, towards that distinctive possibility of Dasein which we have already characterized. Anticipation discloses this possibility as possibility. Thus only as anticipating does resoluteness become a primordial being towards Dasein's ownmost potentiality for being. only when it qualifies itself as being towards death, does resoluteness understand the can of its potentiality for being guilty. When Dasein is resolute, it takes over authentically in its existence the fact that it is the null basis of its own nullity. We have conceived death existentially as what we have characterized as the possibility of the impossibility of existence, that is to say, as the utter nullity of Dasein. Death is not added on to Dasein at its end, but Dasein as care is the throne that is null basis for its death. The nullity by which Dasein's being is dominated primordially through and through is revealed to Dasein itself in authentic being towards death. Only on the basis of Dasein's whole being does anticipation make being guilty manifest. Care harbors in itself both death and guilt equiprimordially. Only anticipatory resoluteness understands the potentiality for being guilty authentically and wholly, that is to say, primordially. When the call of conscience is understood, lostness in the they is revealed. Resoluteness brings Dasein back to its ownmost potentiality for being itself. When one has an understanding being towards death as one's ownmost possibility, one's potentiality for being becomes authentic and wholly transparent. The call of conscience passes over in its appeal all Dasein's worldly prestige and potentialities. Relentlessly it individualizes Dasein down to its potentiality for being guilty, and exacts of it that it should be this potentiality authentically. The unwavering precision with which Dasein is thus essentially individualized down to its ownmost potentiality for being discloses the anticipation of, zum, death, as the possibility which is non-relational. Anticipatory resoluteness lets the potentiality for being guilty, as one's ownmost non-relational possibility, be struck wholly into the conscience. Any factical Dasein has been determined by its ownmost being guilty, both before any factical indebtedness has been incurred and after any such indebtedness has been paid off. And wanting to have a conscience signifies that one is ready for the appeal to this ownmost being guilty. This prior being guilty, which is constantly with us, does not show itself unconcealedly in its character as prior until this very priority has been enlisted in, hineingestellt, that possibility which is simply not to be outstripped. When in anticipation resoluteness has caught up, eingeholt, the possibility of death, into its potentiality for being, Dasein's authentic existence can no longer be outstripped, überholt by anything. The phenomenon of resoluteness has brought us before the primordial truth of existence. As resolute, Dasein is revealed to itself in its current factical potentiality for being, and in such a way that Dasein itself is this revealing and being revealed. To any truth there belongs a corresponding holding for true. The explicit appropriating of what has been disclosed or discovered is being certain. The primordial truth of existence demands an equiprimordial being certain, in which one maintains oneself in what resoluteness discloses. It gives itself the current factical situation and brings itself into that situation. The situation cannot be calculated in advance or presented like something present at hand which is waiting for someone to grasp it. It merely gets disclosed in a free resolving which has not been determined beforehand, but is open to the possibility of such determination. What, then, does the certainty which belongs to such resoluteness signify? Such certainty must maintain itself in what is disclosed by the resolution. But this means that it simply cannot become rigid as regards the situation, but must understand that the resolution, in accordance with its own meaning as a disclosure, must be held open and free for the current factical possibility. The certainty of the resolution signifies that one holds oneself free for the possibility of taking it back, a possibility which is factically necessary. However, such holding for true in resoluteness as the truth of existence by no means lets us fall back into irresoluteness. On the contrary, this holding for true as a resolute holding oneself free for taking back is authentic resoluteness which resolves to keep repeating itself. Thus, in an existentiel manner, one's very lostness in irresoluteness gets undermined. The holding for true which belongs to resoluteness tends, in accordance with its meaning, to hold itself free constantly, that is, to hold itself free for Dasein's whole potentiality for being. This constant certainty is guaranteed to resoluteness only so that it will relate itself to that possibility of which it can be utterly certain. In its death, Dasein must simply take back everything. Since resoluteness is constantly certain of death, in other words, since it anticipates it, resoluteness thus attains a certainty which is authentic and whole. But Dasein is equiprimordially in the untruth. Anticipatory resoluteness gives Dasein, at the same time, the primordial certainty that it has been closed off. In anticipatory resoluteness, Dasein holds itself open for its constant lostness in the irresoluteness of the they, a lostness which is possible from the very basis of its own being. As a constant possibility of Dasein, irresoluteness is co-certain. When resoluteness is transparent to itself, it understands that the indefiniteness of one's potentiality for being is made definite only in a resolution as regards the current situation. It knows about the indefiniteness by which an entity that exists is dominated, through and through. But if this knowing is to correspond to authentic resoluteness, it must itself arise from an authentic disclosure. The indefiniteness of one's own potentiality for being, even when this potentiality has become certain in a resolution, is first made wholly manifest in being towards death. Anticipation brings Dasein face to face with a possibility which is constantly certain, but which at any moment remains indefinite as to when that possibility will become an impossibility. Anticipation makes it manifest that this entity has been thrown into the indefiniteness of its limit situation. When resolved upon the latter, Dasein gains its authentic potentiality for being a whole. The indefiniteness of death is primordially disclosed in anxiety. But this primordial anxiety strives to exact resoluteness of itself. It moves out of the way everything which conceals the fact that Dasein has been abandoned to itself. The nothing with which anxiety brings us face to face unveils the nullity by which Dasein, in its very basis, is defined. And this basis itself is as thrownness into death. Our analysis has revealed, seriatim, those items of modalization towards which resoluteness tends of itself, and which arise from authentic being towards death, as that possibility which is one's own most, non-relational, not to be outstripped, certain, and yet indefinite. Resoluteness is authentically and wholly what it can be only as anticipatory resoluteness. But on the other hand, in our interpretation of the connection between resoluteness and anticipation, we have first reached a full existential understanding of anticipation itself. Hitherto, this could amount to no more than an ontological projection. We have now shown that anticipation is not just a fictitious possibility, which we have forced upon Dasein. It is a mode of an existentiel potentiality for being that is attested in Dasein, a mode which Dasein exacts of itself, if indeed it authentically understands itself as resolute. Anticipation is not some kind of free-floating behavior, but must be conceived as the possibility of the authenticity of that resoluteness which has been attested in an existentiel way, a possibility hidden in such resoluteness and thus attested therewith. Authentic thinking about death is a wanting to have a conscience, which has become transparent to itself in an existentiel manner. If resoluteness as authentic tends towards the mode delimited by anticipation, and if anticipation goes to make up Dasein's authentic potentiality for being a whole, then in the resoluteness which is attested in an existentiel manner, there is attested with it an authentic potentiality for being a whole which belongs to Dasein. The question of the potentiality for being a whole is one which is factical and existentiel. It is answered by Dasein as resolute. The question of Dasein's potentiality for being a whole has now fully sloughed off the character indicated at the beginning. When we treated it as if it were just a theoretical or methodological question of the analytic of Dasein, arising from the endeavour to have the whole of Dasein completely given. The question of Dasein's totality, which at the beginning we discussed only with regard to ontological method, has its justification, but only because the ground for that justification goes back to an ontical possibility of Dasein. By thus casting light upon the connection between anticipation and resoluteness in the sense of the possible modalization of the latter by the former, we have exhibited as a phenomenon an authentic potentiality for being a whole which belongs to Dasein. If with this phenomenon we have reached a way of being of Dasein in which it brings itself to itself and face to face with itself, then this phenomenon must, both ontically and ontologically, remain unintelligible to the everyday common-sense manner in which Dasein has been interpreted by the they. It would be a misunderstanding to shove this existentiel possibility aside as unproved or to want to prove it theoretically. Yet the phenomenon needs to be protected against the grossest perversions. Anticipatory resoluteness is not a way of escape, fabricated for the overcoming of death. It is rather that understanding which follows the call of conscience, and which frees for death the possibility of acquiring power over Dasein's existence, and of basically dispersing all fugitive self-concealments. Nor does wanting to have a conscience, which has been made determinate as being towards death, signify a kind of seclusion in which one flees the world. Rather, it brings one without illusions into the resoluteness of taking action. Neither does anticipatory resoluteness stem from idealistic exactions, soaring above existence and its possibilities. It springs from a sober understanding of what are factically the basic possibilities for Dasein. Along with the sober anxiety which brings us face to face with our individualized potentiality for being, there goes an unshakable joy in this possibility. In it, Dasein becomes free from the entertaining incidentals with which busy curiosity keeps providing itself, primarily from the events of the world. But the analysis of these basic moods would transgress the limits which we have drawn for the present interpretation by aiming towards fundamental ontology. Is there not, however, a definite ontical way of taking authentic existence, a factical idea of Dasein, underlying our ontological interpretation of Dasein's existence? That is so indeed. But not only is this fact one which must not be denied and which we are forced to grant, it must also be conceived in its positive necessity, in terms of the object which we have taken as the theme of our investigation. Philosophy will never seek to deny its presuppositions, but neither may it simply admit them. It conceives them, and it unfolds with more and more penetration both the presuppositions themselves and that for which they are presuppositions. The methodological considerations now demanded of us will have this very function. Section 63. The hermeneutical situation at which we have arrived for interpreting the meaning of the being of care, and the methodological character of the existential analytic in general. In its anticipatory resoluteness, Dasein has now been made phenomenally visible with regard to its possible authenticity and totality. The hermeneutical situation, which was previously inadequate for interpreting the meaning of the being of care, now has the required primordiality. Dasein has been put into that which we have in advance, and this has been done primordially. That is to say, this has been done with regard to its authentic potentiality for being a whole. The idea of existence, which guides us, as that which we see in advance, has been made definite by the clarification of our ownmost potentiality for being. And now that we have concretely worked out the structure of Dasein's being, its peculiar ontological character has become so plain as compared with everything present at hand that Dasein's existentiality has been grasped in advance with sufficient articulation to give sure guidance for working out the existentialia conceptually. The way which we have so far pursued in the analytic of Dasein has led us to a concrete demonstration of the thesis which was put forward just casually at the beginning, that the entity which in every case we ourselves are is ontologically that which is farthest. The reason for this lies in care itself. Our being alongside the things with which we concern ourselves most closely in the world, a being which is falling, guides the everyday way in which Dasein is interpreted and covers up ontically Dasein's authentic being, so that the ontology which is directed towards this entity is denied an appropriate basis. Therefore, the primordial way in which this entity is presented as a phenomenon is anything but obvious, if even ontology proximally follows the course of the everyday interpretation of Dasein. The laying bare of Dasein's primordial being must rather be wrested from Dasein by following the opposite course from that taken by the falling ontico-ontological tendency of interpretation. Not only in exhibiting the most elemental structures of being in the world, in delimiting the concept of the world, in clarifying the average who of this entity, the who which is closest to us, the they-self, in interpreting the there, but also above all in analyzing care, death, conscience and guilt, in all these ways we have shown how in Dasein itself, concernful common sense has taken control of Dasein's potentiality for being, and the disclosure of that potentiality, that is to say the closing of it off. Dasein's kind of being thus demands that any ontological interpretation which sets itself the goal of exhibiting the phenomena in their primordiality should capture the being of this entity, in spite of this entity's own tendency to cover things up. Existential analysis, therefore, constantly has the character of doing violence, Gewaltsamkeit, whether to the claims of the everyday interpretation or to its complacency and its tranquilized obviousness. While indeed this characteristic is specially distinctive of the ontology of Dasein, it belongs properly to any interpretation, because the understanding which develops in interpretation has the structure of a projection, but is not anything of this sort guided and regulated in a way of its own. Where are ontological projects to get the evidence that their findings are phenomenally appropriate? Ontological interpretation projects the entity presented to it upon the being which is that entity's own, so as to conceptualize it with regard to its structure. Where are the signposts to direct the projection, so that being will be reached at all? And what if the entity which becomes the theme of the existential analytic hides the being that belongs to it, and does so in its very way of being? To answer these questions, we must first restrict ourselves to clarifying the analytic of Dasein, as the questions themselves demand. The interpretation of the self belongs to Dasein's being. In the circumspective, concernful discovering of the world, concern gets cited too. Dasein always understands itself factically in definite existentiel possibilities, even if its projects stem only from the common sense of the they. Whether explicitly or not, whether appropriately or not, existence is somehow understood too. There are some things which every ontical understanding includes, even if these are only pre-ontological, that is to say, not conceived, theoretically or thematically. Every ontologically explicit question about Dasein's being has had the way already prepared for it by the kind of being which Dasein has. Yet where are we to find out what makes up the authentic existence of Dasein? Unless we have an existentiel understanding, all analysis of existentiality will remain groundless. Is it not the case that underlying our interpretation of the authenticity and totality of Dasein, there is an ontical way of taking existence, which may be possible but need not be binding for everyone. Existential interpretation will never seek to take over any authoritarian pronouncement as to those things which, from an existentiel point of view, are possible or binding. But must it not justify itself in regard to those existentiel possibilities with which it gives ontological interpretation its ontical basis? If the being of Dasein is essentially potentiality for being, if it is being free for its own most possibilities, and if in every case it exists only in freedom for these possibilities or in lack of freedom for them, can ontological interpretation do anything else than base itself on ontical possibilities, ways of potentiality for being, and project these possibilities upon their ontological possibility? And if, for the most part, Dasein interprets itself in terms of its lostness in concerning itself with the world, does not the appropriate way of disclosure for such an entity lie in determining the ontico-existentiel possibilities, and doing so in the manner which we have achieved by following the opposite course, and then providing an existential analysis grounded upon these possibilities? In that case, will not the violence of this projection amount to freeing Dasein's undisguised phenomenal content? It may be that our method demands this violent presentation of possibilities of existence, but can such a presentation be taken out of the province of our free discretion? If the analytic makes anticipatory resoluteness basic as a potentiality for being which, in an existentiel manner, is authentic, a possibility to which Dasein itself summons us from the very basis of its existence, then is this possibility just one which is left to our discretion? Has that way of being in accordance with which Dasein's potentiality for being comports itself towards its distinctive possibility, death, been just accidentally pounced upon? Does being in the world have a higher instance for its potentiality for being than its own death? Even if the ontico-ontological projection of Dasein upon an authentic potentiality for being a whole may not be just something that is left to our discretion, does this already justify the existential interpretation we have given for this phenomenon? Where does this interpretation get its clue, if not from an idea of existence in general, which has been presupposed? How have the steps in the analysis of inauthentic everydayness been regulated, if not by the concept of existence which we have posited? And if we say that Dasein falls, and that therefore the authenticity of its potentiality for being must be wrested from Dasein in spite of this tendency of its being, from what point of view is this spoken? Is not everything already illumined by the light of the presupposed idea of existence, even if rather dimly? Where does this idea get its justification? Has our initial projection, in which we called attention to it, led us nowhere? By no means. In indicating the formal aspects of the idea of existence, we have been guided by the understanding of being which lies in Dasein itself. Without any ontological transparency, it has nevertheless been revealed that in every case I am myself the entity which we call Dasein, and that I am so as a potentiality for being for which to be this entity is an issue. Dasein understands itself as being in the world, even if it does so without adequate ontological definiteness. Being thus, it encounters entities which have the kind of being of what is ready to hand and present at hand. No matter how far removed from an ontological concept the distinction between existence and reality may be, no matter even if Dasein proximally understands existence as reality, Dasein is not just present at hand, but has already understood itself, however mythical or magical the interpretation which it gives may be. For otherwise Dasein would never live in a myth and would not be concerned with magic in ritual and cult. The idea of existence which we have posited gives us an outline of the formal structure of the understanding of Dasein, and does so in a way which is not binding from an existentiel point of view. Under the guidance of this idea, the preparatory analysis of the everydayness that lies closest to us has been carried out as far as the first conceptual definition of care. This latter phenomenon has enabled us to get a more precise grasp of existence and of its relations to facticity and falling, and defining the structure of care has given us a basis on which to distinguish ontologically between existence and reality for the first time. This has led us to the thesis that the substance of man is existence. Yet even in this formal idea of existence, which is not binding upon us in an existentiel way, there already lurks a definite, though unpretentious, ontological content, which, like the idea of reality, which has been distinguished from this, presupposes an idea of being in general. Only within the horizon of this idea of being can the distinction between existence and reality be accomplished. Surely in both of them what we have in view is being. But if we are to obtain an ontologically clarified idea of being in general, must we not do so by first working out that understanding of being which belongs to Dasein? This understanding, however, is to be grasped primordially only on the basis of a primordial interpretation of Dasein, in which we take the idea of existence as our clue. Does it not then become altogether patent in the end that this problem of fundamental ontology which we have broached is one which moves in a circle? We have indeed already shown, in analyzing the structure of understanding in general, that what gets censured inappropriately as a circle belongs to the essence and to the distinctive character of understanding as such. In spite of this, if the problematic of fundamental ontology is to have its hermeneutical situation clarified, our investigation must now come back explicitly to this circular argument. When it is objected that the existential interpretation is circular, it is said that we have presupposed the idea of existence and of being in general, and that Dasein gets interpreted accordingly, so that the idea of being may be obtained from it. But what does presupposition signify? In positing the idea of existence, do we also posit some proposition from which we deduce further propositions about the being of Dasein in accordance with formal rules of consistency? Or does this presupposing have the character of an understanding projection, in such a manner indeed that the interpretation by which such an understanding gets developed will let that which is to be interpreted put itself into words for the very first time, so that it may decide of its own accord whether, as the entity which it is, it has that state of being for which it has been disclosed in the projection with regard to its formal aspects? Is there any other way at all by which an entity can put itself into words with regard to its being? We cannot ever avoid a circular proof in the existential analytic, because such an analytic does not do any proving at all by the rules of the logic of consistency. What common sense wishes to eliminate in avoiding the circle, on the supposition that it is measuring up to the loftiest rigour of scientific investigation, is nothing less than the basic structure of care. Because it is primordially constituted by care, any Dasein is already ahead of itself. As being, it has, in every case, already projected itself upon definite possibilities of its existence. And in such existentiel projections, it has, in a pre-ontological manner, also projected something like existence and being. Like all research, the research which wants to develop and conceptualize that kind of being which belongs to existence is itself a kind of being which disclosive Dasein possesses. Can such research be denied this projecting, which is essential to Dasein? Yet the charge of circularity itself comes from a kind of being which belongs to Dasein. Something like a projection, even an ontological one, still remains for the common sense of our concernful absorption in the they, but it necessarily seems strange to us because common sense barricades itself against it on principle. Common sense concerns itself, whether theoretically or practically, only with entities which can be surveyed at a glance, circumspectively. What is distinctive in common sense is that it has in view only the experiencing of factual entities, in order that it may be able to rid itself of an understanding of being. It fails to recognize that entities can be experienced factually only when being is already understood, even if it has not been conceptualized. Common sense misunderstands understanding, and therefore common sense must necessarily pass off as violent anything that lies beyond the reach of its understanding, or any attempt to go out so far. When one talks of the circle in understanding, one expresses a failure to recognize two things. One, that understanding as such makes up a basic kind of Dasein's being, and two, that this being is constituted as care. To deny the circle, to make a secret of it, or even to want to overcome it, means finally to reinforce this failure. We must rather endeavor to leap into the circle primordially and wholly, so that even at the start of the analysis of Dasein we make sure that we have a full view of Dasein's circular being. If, in the ontology of Dasein, we take our departure from a worldless I in order to provide this I with an object, and an ontologically baseless relation to that object, then we have presupposed not too much, but too little. If we make a problem of life and then just occasionally have regard for death too, our view is too short-sighted. The object we have taken as our theme is artificially and dogmatically curtailed. If in the first instance we restrict ourselves to a theoretical subject in order that we may then round it out on the practical side by tacking on an ethic, this may suffice to clarify the existential meaning of the hermeneutical situation of a primordial analytic of Dasein. By exhibiting anticipatory resoluteness, we have brought Dasein before us with regard to its authentic totality, so that we now have it in advance. The authenticity of the potentiality for being oneself guarantees that primordial existentiality is something we see in advance, and this assures us that we are coining the appropriate existential concepts. At the same time, our analysis of anticipatory resoluteness has led us to the phenomenon of primordial and authentic truth. We have shown earlier how that understanding of being, which prevails proximally and for the most part, conceives being in the sense of presence at hand, and so covers up the primordial phenomenon of truth. If, however, there is being only insofar as truth is, and if the understanding of being varies according to the kind of truth, then truth, which is primordial and authentic, must guarantee the understanding of the being of Dasein and of being in general. The ontological truth of the existential analysis is developed on the ground of the primordial, existentiel truth. However, the latter does not necessarily need the former. The most primordial and basic existential truth for which the problematic of fundamental ontology strives in preparing for the question of being in general is the disclosedness of the meaning of the being of care. In order to lay bare this meaning, we need to hold in readiness, undiminished, the full structural content of care.
Section 64. Care and Selfhood. Through the unity of the items which are constitutive for care, existentiality, facticity, and fallenness, it has become possible to give the first ontological definition for the totality of Dasein's structural whole. We have given an existential formula for the structure of care as ahead of itself, being already in a world, as being alongside entities encountered within the world. We have seen that the care structure does not first arise from a coupling together, but is articulated all the same. In assessing this ontological result, we have had to estimate how well it satisfies the requirements for a primordial interpretation of Dasein. The upshot of these considerations has been that neither the whole of Dasein nor its authentic potentiality for being has ever been made a theme. The structure of care, however, seems to be precisely where the attempt to grasp the whole of Dasein as a phenomenon has foundered. The ahead of itself presented itself as a not yet, but when the ahead of itself, which had been characterized as something still outstanding, was considered in genuinely existential manner, it revealed itself as being towards the end, something which in the depths of its being every Dasein is. We made it plain at the same time that in the call of conscience, care summons Dasein towards its ownmost potentiality for being. When we came to understand in a primordial manner how this appeal is understood, we saw that the understanding of it manifests itself as anticipatory resoluteness, which includes an authentic potentiality for being a whole, a potentiality of Dasein. Thus the care structure does not speak against the possibility of being a whole, but is the condition for the possibility of such an existentiel potentiality for being. In the course of these analyses, it became plain that the existential phenomena of death, conscience and guilt, are anchored in the phenomenon of care. The totality of the structural whole has become even more richly articulated. And because of this, the existential question of the unity of this totality has become still more urgent. How are we to conceive this unity? How can Dasein exist as a unity in the ways and possibilities of its being, which we have mentioned? Manifestly, it can so exist only in such a way that it is itself this being in its essential possibilities. That in each case, I am this entity. The I seems to hold together the totality of the structural whole. In the ontology of this entity, the I and the self have been conceived from the earliest times as the supporting ground, as substance or subject. Even in its preparatory characterization of everydayness, our analytic has already come up against the question of Dasein's who. It has been shown that proximally and for the most part, Dasein is not itself, but is lost in the they-self, which is an existentiel modification of the authentic self. The question of the ontological constitution of selfhood has remained unanswered. In principle, of course, we have already fixed upon a clue for this problem. For if the self belongs to the essential, wesenhaften attributes of Dasein, while Dasein's essence, Essenz, lies in existence, then I-hood and selfhood must be conceived existentially. On the negative side, it has also been shown that our ontological characterization of the they prohibits us from making any use of categories of presence at hand, such as substance. It has become clear in principle that ontologically care is not to be derived from reality or to be built up with the categories of reality. Care already harbors in itself the phenomenon of the self, if indeed the thesis is correct that the expression care for oneself, Selbstsorge, would be tautological, if it were proposed in conformity with the term solicitude, Fürsorge, as care for others. But in that case, the problem of defining ontologically the selfhood of Dasein gets sharpened to the question of the existential connection between care and selfhood. To clarify the existentiality of the self, we take as our natural point of departure Dasein's everyday interpretation of the self. In saying I, Dasein expresses itself about itself. It is not necessary that in doing so Dasein should make any utterance. With the I, this entity has itself in view. The content of this expression is regarded as something utterly simple. In each case, it just stands for me, and nothing further. Also, this I, as something simple, is not an attribute of other things. It is not itself a predicate, but the absolute subject. What is expressed and what is addressed in saying I is always met as the same persisting something. The characteristics of simplicity, substantiality, and personality, which Kant, for instance, made the basis for his doctrine of the paralogisms of pure reason, arise from a genuine pre-phenomenological experience. The question remains whether that which we have experienced ontically in this way may be interpreted ontologically with the help of the categories mentioned. Kant, indeed, in strict conformity with the phenomenal content given in saying I, shows that the ontical theses about the soul, substance, which have been inferred, erschlossenen, from these characteristics, are without justification. But in so doing, he merely rejects a wrong ontical explanation of the I. He has by no means achieved an ontological interpretation of selfhood, nor has he even obtained some assurance of it and made positive preparation for it. Kant makes a more rigorous attempt than his predecessors to keep hold of the phenomenal content of saying I, yet even though in theory he has denied that the ontical foundations of the ontology of the substantial apply to the I, he still slips back into this same inappropriate ontology. This will be shown more exactly, in order that we may establish what it means ontologically to take saying I as the starting point for the analysis of selfhood. The Kantian analysis of the I think is now to be adduced as an illustration, but only so far as is demanded for clarifying these problems. The I is a bare consciousness, accompanying all concepts. In the I, nothing more is represented than a transcendental subject of thoughts. Consciousness in itself is not so much a representation as it is a form of representation in general. The I think is the form of apperception which clings to every experience and precedes it. Kant grasps the phenomenal content of the I correctly in the expression I think, or, if one also pays heed to including the practical person, when one speaks of intelligence, in the expression I take action. In Kant's sense, we must take saying I as saying I think. Kant tries to establish the phenomenal content of the I as res cogitans. If in doing so he calls this I a logical subject, that does not mean that the I in general is a concept obtained merely by way of logic. The I is rather the subject of logical behavior, of binding together. I think means I bind together. All binding together is an I bind together. In any taking together or relating, the I always underlies the hypokaimenon. The subjectum is therefore consciousness in itself, not a representation, but rather the form of representation. That is to say, the I think is not something represented, but the formal structure of representing as such, and this formal structure alone makes it possible for anything to have been represented. When we speak of the form of representation, we have in view neither a framework nor a universal concept, but that which as, eidos, makes every representing and everything represented be what it is. If the I is understood as the form of representation, this amounts to saying that it is the logical subject. Kant's analysis has two positive aspects. For one thing, he sees the impossibility of ontically reducing the I to a substance. For another thing, he holds fast to the I as I think. Nevertheless, he takes this I as subject again, and he does so in a sense which is ontologically inappropriate. For the ontological concept of the subject characterizes not the selfhood of the I qua self, but the self-sameness and steadiness of something that is always present at hand. To define the I ontologically as subject means to regard it as something always present at hand. The being of the I is understood as the reality of the res cogitans. But how does it come about that while the I think gives Kant a genuine phenomenal starting point, he cannot exploit it ontologically and has to fall back on the subject, that is to say, something substantial? The I is not just an I think, but an I think something. And does not Kant himself keep on stressing that the I remains related to its representations and would be nothing without them? For Kant, however, these representations are the empirical, which is accompanied by the I, the appearances to which the I clings. Kant nowhere shows the kind of being of this clinging and accompanying. At bottom, however, their kind of being is understood as the constant being present at hand of the I, along with its representations. Kant has indeed avoided cutting the I adrift from thinking, but he has done so without starting with the I think itself in its full essential content, as an I think something, and above all without seeing what is ontologically presupposed. In taking the I think something as a basic characteristic of the self. For even the I think something is not definite enough ontologically as a starting point because the something remains indefinite. If by this something we understand an entity within the world, then it tacitly implies that the world has been presupposed, and this very phenomenon of the world co-determines the state of being of the I. If indeed it is to be possible for the I to be something like an I think something. In saying I have in view the entity which in each case I am as an I am in the world. Kant did not see the phenomenon of the world and was consistent enough to keep the representations apart from the a priori content of the I think. But as a consequence, the I was again forced back to an isolated subject, accompanying representations in a way which is ontologically quite indefinite. In saying I, Dasein expresses itself as being in the world. But does saying I in the everyday manner have itself in view as being in the world, in der Welt seiend? Here we must make a distinction. When saying I, Dasein surely has in view the entity which in every case it is itself. The everyday interpretation of the self, however, has a tendency to understand itself in terms of the world with which it is concerned. When Dasein has itself in view ontically, it fails to see itself in relation to the kind of being of that entity which it is itself. And this holds especially for the basic state of Dasein, being in the world. What is the motive for this fugitive way of saying I? It is motivated by Dasein's falling. For as falling, it flees in the face of itself into the they. When the I talks in the natural manner, this is performed by the they self. What expresses itself in the I is that self which, proximally and for the most part, I am not authentically. When one is absorbed in the everyday multiplicity and the rapid succession, sich jagen, of that with which one is concerned, the self of the self-forgetful, I am concerned, shows itself as something simple which is constantly self-same but indefinite and empty. Yet one is that with which one concerns oneself. In the natural ontical way in which the I talks, the phenomenal content of the Dasein which one has in view in the I gets overlooked. But this gives no justification for our joining in this overlooking of it, or for forcing upon the problematic of the self an inappropriate categorical horizon when we interpret the I ontologically. Of course, by thus refusing to follow the everyday way in which the I talks, our ontological interpretation of the I has by no means solved the problem, but it has indeed prescribed the direction for any further inquiries. In the I, we have in view that entity which one is in being in the world. Being already in a world, however, as being alongside the ready-to-hand within the world, means equiprimordially that one is ahead of oneself. With the I, what we have in view is that entity for which the issue is the being of the entity that it is. With the I, care expresses itself, though proximally and for the most part in the fugitive way in which the I talks when it concerns itself with something. The they self keeps on saying I most loudly and most frequently because at bottom it is not authentically itself and evades its authentic potentiality for being. If the ontological constitution of the self is not to be traced back either to an I substance or to a subject, but if, on the contrary, the everyday fugitive way in which we keep on saying I must be understood in terms of our authentic potentiality for being, then the proposition that the self is the basis of care and constantly present at hand is one that still does not follow. Selfhood is to be discerned existentially only in one's authentic potentiality for being oneself, that is to say, in the authenticity of Dasein's being as care. In terms of care, the constancy of the self as the supposed persistence of the subjectum gets clarified. But the phenomenon of this authentic potentiality for being also opens our eyes for the constancy of the self, in the sense of its having achieved some sort of position. The constancy of the self, in the double sense of steadiness and steadfastness, is the authentic counterpossibility to the non-self-constancy, which is characteristic of irresolute falling. Existentially, self-constancy signifies nothing other than anticipatory resoluteness. The ontological structure of such resoluteness reveals the existentiality of the self's selfhood. Dasein is authentically itself in the primordial individualization of the reticent resoluteness which exacts anxiety of itself. As something that keeps silent, authentic being oneself is just the sort of thing that does not keep on saying I. But in its reticence it is that throne entity as which it can authentically be. The self, which the reticence of resolute existence unveils, is the primordial phenomenal basis for the question as to the being of the I. Only if we are oriented phenomenally by the meaning of the being of the authentic potentiality for being oneself, are we put in a position to discuss what ontological justification there is for treating substantiality, simplicity, and personality as characteristics of selfhood. In the prevalent way of saying I, it is constantly suggested that what we have in advance is a self-thing, persistently present at hand. The ontological question of the being of the self must turn away from any such suggestion. Care does not need to be founded in a self, but existentiality, as constitutive for care, provides the ontological constitution of Dasein self-constancy, to which there belongs, in accordance with the full structural content of care, its being fallen factically into non-self-constancy. When fully conceived, the care structure includes the phenomenon of selfhood. This phenomenon is clarified by interpreting the meaning of care, and it is as care that Dasein's totality of being has been defined.
Section 65.
Temporality as the ontological meaning of care. In characterizing the connection between care and selfhood, our aim was not only to clarify the special problem of I-hood, but also to help in the final preparation for getting into our grasp phenomenally the totality of Dasein's structural whole. We need the unwavering discipline of the existential way of putting the question if, for our ontological point of view, Dasein's kind of being is not to be finally perverted into a mode of presence at hand, even one which is wholly undifferentiated. Dasein becomes essentially Dasein in that authentic existence which constitutes itself as anticipatory resoluteness. Such resoluteness as a mode of the authenticity of care contains Dasein's primordial self-constancy and totality. We must take an undistracted look at these and understand them existentially if we are to lay bare the ontological meaning of Dasein's being. What are we seeking ontologically with the meaning of care? What does meaning signify? In our investigation, we have encountered this phenomenon in connection with the analysis of understanding and interpretation. According to that analysis, meaning is that wherein the understandability, Verstehbarkeit, of something maintains itself, even that of something which does not come into view explicitly and thematically. Meaning signifies the upon which, das worauf hin, of a primary projection in terms of which, something can be conceived in its possibility as that which it is. Projecting discloses possibilities, that is to say, it discloses the sort of thing that makes possible. To lay bare the upon which of a projection amounts to disclosing that which makes possible what has been projected. To lay it bare in this way requires methodologically that we study the projection, usually a tacit one, which underlies an interpretation, and that we do so in such a way that what has been projected in the projecting can be disclosed and grasped with regard to its upon which. To set forth the meaning of care means, then, to follow up the projection which guides and underlies the primordial existential interpretation of Dasein, and to follow it up in such a way that, in what is here projected, it's upon which, may be seen. What has been projected is the being of Dasein, and it is disclosed in what constitutes that being as an authentic potentiality for being a whole. That upon which the being which has been disclosed and is thus constituted has been projected is that which itself makes possible this constitution of being as care. When we inquire about the meaning of care, we are asking what makes possible the totality of the articulated structural whole of care in the unity of its articulation as we have unfolded it. Taken strictly, meaning signifies the upon which of the primary projection of the understanding of being. When being in the world has been disclosed to itself and understands the being of that entity which it itself is, it understands equiprimordially the being of entities discovered within the world, even if such being has not been made a theme and has not yet even been differentiated into its primary modes of existence and reality. All ontical experience of entities, both circumspective calculation of the ready to hand and positive scientific cognition of the present at hand, is based upon projections of the being of the corresponding entities, projections which in every case are more or less transparent. But in these projections there lies hidden the upon which of the projection, and on this, as it were, the understanding of being nourishes itself. If we say that entities have meaning, this signifies that they have become accessible in their being, and this being, as projected upon its upon which, is what really has meaning, first of all. Entities have meaning only because, as being, which has been disclosed beforehand, they become intelligible in the projection of that being, that is to say, in terms of the upon which of that projection. The primary projection of the understanding of being gives the meaning. The question about the meaning of the being of an entity takes as its theme the upon which of that understanding of being, which underlies all being of entities. Dasein is either authentically or inauthentically disclosed to itself as regards its existence. In existing, Dasein understands itself, and in such a way indeed that this understanding does not merely get something in its grasp, but makes up the existentiel being of its factical potentiality for being. The being which is disclosed is that of an entity for which this being is an issue. The meaning of this being, that is, of care, is what makes care possible in its constitution. And it is what makes up primordially the being of this potentiality for being. The meaning of Dasein's being is not something free-floating which is other than and outside of itself, but is the self-understanding Dasein itself. What makes possible the being of Dasein and therewith its factical existence? That which was projected in the primordial existential projection of existence has revealed itself as anticipatory resoluteness. What makes this authentic being a whole of Dasein possible with regard to the unity of its articulated structural whole? Anticipatory resoluteness, when taken formally and existentially, without our constantly designating its full structural content, is being towards one's own most distinctive potentiality for being. This sort of thing is possible only in that Dasein can, indeed, come towards itself in its own most possibility, and that it can put up with this possibility as a possibility, in thus letting itself come towards itself, in other words, that it exists. This letting itself come towards itself in that distinctive possibility which it puts up with is the primordial phenomenon of the future as coming towards. If either authentic or inauthentic being towards death belongs to Dasein's being, then such being towards death is possible only as something futural, als zukünftiges, in the sense which we have now indicated, and which we have still to define more closely. By the term futural, we do not here have in view a now which has not yet become actual, and which some time will be for the first time. We have in view the coming, Kunft, in which Dasein, in its own most potentiality for being, comes towards itself. Anticipation makes Dasein authentically futural, and in such a way that the anticipation itself is